The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from the Movement.
We are right in close to the tail end of a series we've been doing called Love Story. And we're taking this from a book of the Bible called Song of Solomon, where one man wrote a song and he named it his jam, the song of all songs. He wrote 1,000 songs, and of all the songs that he wrote, this was it. This was the one. And really, as we unpack this passage or portion of Scripture, we find some amazing truths that relate to you and to me by means in relation to relationships. And how many of you know, listen, if we get our relationships right, then everything is working. Everything. Work is good. Hobbies are good. Life is good. Kids are good. Spouse is good. Dating is good. When relationships are flossing, everything is good. And this whole series is really pulled from the second verse at the beginning of this book, where the woman that he is in love with tells him, your love is more exciting and more amazing than anything I've ever experienced. In fact, the fragrance of your love goes up before everyone, and everyone wants to know how you love like you love. He understood a godly and a biblical kind of love. And I want to tell you that it's possible for you too. A godly and a biblical kind of love. A lot of what we talk about is pulled and directly related to marriage, but it's not only related to that. This can relate to any relationship that you or I are in. And I want to tell you how awesome it can be when the way that you love other people is an example to all. When the way that you relate to other people, they come to you and they go, man, what is different about the way that you love? And you can say, let me introduce you to a God who changed my life. In this passage of Scripture today, we're going to talk about taking love to a deeper love. Now, guys, don't check out on me, please. Listen, I want to tell you, last night we were driving with my family. We just went to dinner, and on our way back, we passed by my 5-year-old's preschool, and now she's in kindergarten. And she looked at her preschool, and she's like, man, I just want to go back to preschool. All we did was play games and color. I miss my friends. And we started, what about your new teacher? I can write them a note. I want to go back to my preschool. What about your friends that you have now? Well, I can have them over for a play date, Dad. I want to go back to my preschool where we would just play games and color. Now, I feel like so many of us in this room, we only go to a certain level with our relationships and with our love for each other. And I believe in marriages, we kind of stop at a surface level or just below. And really, God has a plan to take us to a deeper love so that we can start to change statistics. Right now, we're looking at a 50% divorce rate across the nation. And I believe we can change that statistic. Yeah. Now, listen, this isn't about a shame in our game. If you're here today and you look back in the past and you see frustration or hurt, well, you need to know that today, Jesus makes all things new. This isn't about our past. Nobody in this room is doing it perfectly. All of us in here are just a little bit jacked up. So hide your kids and hide your wife, okay? But I think if we'll take some time and explore the Scripture, we can really unpack what God has for us. In fact, I've got a picture for you. Can you guys put that up there for me? Don't laugh. Boom, look at that. Now, my baby looks the same, but I promise I wasn't 12 when she married me. we were stoked and excited on that day. That was May 25th, 2001, many, many, many years ago, and for me, many pounds ago, and apparently I've become more of a man. I think I have facial hair now. I couldn't grow it at that time, but times were different then. I mean, gas was $1.46 a gallon. When you buy coffee, it only cost $3.06. 9/11 at that point was just a date in September. A lot of things have changed since then. A lot of things. Wikipedia was launched that year. Wikipedia. And this year was the year that the iPod was released. And nobody even has an iPod anymore, right? Times, some of you do, I'm sorry. No judgment. Get a phone. It's going to work for you. Times have changed. Take that picture down. I'm embarrassed just to have it behind me. My wife still looks the same. She's still amazing. But I have definitely, I've got girth now. And I just have girth. And it won't go away. And things are different. And man, listen, This is kind of like in the movie Rocky, one of my favorite movies. And if you've not watched it, then you need Jesus. Watch the movie. And I remember in the movie when he was training, he cracks open the eggs and just downs those nasty eggs and then gets out there and starts running. And the music is amazing. And the people come behind him and they're running with him. And he climbs the 72 stairs of the Museum of Art and he dances around with his hands in the air, the champion of the world. But he hadn't even stepped into the ring yet. That's what that picture is right there. That's what that picture is. Stoked on life. She knew exactly who I was going to be, and I knew exactly who she was going to be. And can I just tell you, we were both wrong. No one is perfect. We never find the perfect person. In fact, this entire series, I wrote it down for you to understand. This entire series is about making an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. That's worth writing down. Making an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. And I want to talk about how, in four ways, four areas that we need to grow deeper in our love for each other. And listen, singles, if you're here and you've gone through divorce, don't tune me out. This is for everyone here. Married couples, guys, don't think this is the sappy version. And don't act like you don't watch the movie Notebook. Just pretend like this is that moment, okay? And let's talk about the four areas that we need to grow deeper in our love. We're going to unpack Song of Solomon chapter 7. I need to let you know this is a PG-13 rated sermon series. And Solomon wrote in allegories and in poems. And so many of the things that he writes about don't really make sense to you and me, but I've done the hard work and I'll kind of explain what those mean for you and for me, and more importantly, how they relate to today. So we're going to start Song of Solomon chapter 7, and the idea here are the four areas that we need to grow deeper in. Number one, we need to grow deeper in appreciation. Write that down. Deeper in appreciation. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 1. We're going to start it off right here. How beautiful are your feet in sandals. Now, come on. I know some people are really into feet, but this is a little bit strange. How beautiful are your feet in sandals. If you go back to chapter 4, their honeymoon night, he begins to describe her from the top of her head down to about right here. But now, 7 chapters in and a few years into their relationship, he starts with her feet. And he says, how beautiful are your feet. He's talking about her and he's thinking about her. And so in chapter 4, he was talking about her but thinking about him. But now he comes back and he says, baby, your feet are beautiful. Your feet in their sandals. And I think it's pretty common knowledge that feet aren't beautiful. I think it's pretty common knowledge that feet are not the most exciting part of the body. In fact, please keep your shoes on for the remainder of this service. But he says, how beautiful are your feet in their sandals. And I think what's important here is to recognize that when God is in the mix and not just a part, the most common of things can become amazing. You see, I think so many times, look me in the eyes for a moment, so many times we just kind of add God or Christ as a component of our marriage, but he's not in the center. There's a great old school song, Jesus at the center of it all. I need an applause, please. That's going to go on the podcast. My mom is probably hanging her head right now as I sing. But I think when Jesus becomes the center of our marriage, then the most common everyday things can become exceptionally extraordinary. Hey, look at me for a moment. We could stop right here. The question to ask yourself, is Jesus at the center of your marriage? Not just a component for 45 minutes on a Sunday because you showed up late. The back row's not laughing. Not just a component, not a punch in and punch out. I need some Jesus time, but is he at the center of your life? You know, so many marriages grow cold and dry and dreary because Christ isn't at the center. And I'm telling you, when you make Christ the center of your life and of your marriage, then anything can become extraordinary. And that's what we're longing for. And Solomon starts right here. How beautiful are your feet in your sandals. The relationship is deep, is beginning to deepen here. He goes on to the next part. He says, oh, noble daughter. Oh, noble daughter. You see, when he first started dating her, she was just a shepherdess. But now he's referring to her as a queen. It hasn't just stopped with how amazing she looks, but there's something about her that's noble, and she has overtaken him. She has become something that moves him. He appreciates the very essence of who she is. He goes on, he says, your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of the master's hand. I don't recommend saying anything about your wife's rounded thighs to her. But a great way to translate this literally would mean the joint of your thigh, which doesn't sound any better. Baby, your joints. Dang, girl, your joints. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. So, no, I'm moving on. Now my mom is hanging her head. I'm sorry, Mom. He's saying the joint of your thighs. And for those of you who've been in the church for maybe a long time, you remember a story of a man named Jacob who wandered through the desert. And his name meant deceiver. And he encountered God on the pathway to the desert. And he wrestled with God until it became obvious that no one was going to win. And he said, don't leave without touching me. And God touched the joint of his thigh, his hip. And he changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And he was never the same. What's Solomon saying? He's saying, I appreciate the way that you've changed. I appreciate the essence. He's saying, you're not the same woman that I thought you were going to be. You've become better. He's grown deeper in his appreciation for her. Deeper in his appreciation for her. He moves on and he says this, your navel is a rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat encircled with lilies. Please don't call your wife, say anything about her belly being a heap. That's a bad idea. Your navel is a rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat encircled with lilies. What's he talking about here? There were two seasons of harvest in those days. There was a harvest of wheat and there was a harvest of grapes. He's saying that you are enough for me, that you satisfy me, that you have become something that I value beyond what you can comprehend. You satisfy me. There's never a time where I feel as though I am without when I am with you. Verse 3, he goes on, your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. And if you remember back to week number 3 in this series, it's the same phrase that he used on his honeymoon night. He's saying, baby, not only do I value you and who you've become, but you still light my fire. I'm still passionate about being with you. Baby, you still got it. If we're going to grow deeper in love, we must grow deeper in our appreciation for each other. So a question that we must ask is this. What do you love? You should ask your spouse, what is it that you love? And our response should be, let me learn to love what it is that you love. I don't know about you, but I get sucked into television series. I can't help it. I just do. We don't have cable. We have Netflix and Hulu Plus. And one of my favorite shows, which is not sanctified, so stop judging me, is called The Walking Dead. And yeah, and with what's happening in Texas, that might be a reality sooner than you think. So this is a show that I love. And man, like I said, it's not sanctified, so stop judging me. But I love this show. And really, it's just drama for guys, okay? They just happen to throw in some killing in there. And the first time Megan watched the show, she's like, ew, ew. And she would walk off. I'm like, baby, just come watch the show. Are you freaking kidding me? I'm not going to watch this show with you. Well, fast forward about a year and a half later, I sit down the other night to watch the show. I put it on. She's back in the bedroom doing something. And she comes running around the corner. She goes, what are you watching? I said, Walking Dead. She goes, don't start that without me. I was like, baby, you're learning to love what I love. And she came and she sat down. It was the greatest day ever. Walking Dead, man, the greatest day ever. We've got to grow in a deeper appreciation. We've got to grow deeper in need for each other. Deeper in need. Listen to this, verse 4. He says, your neck is like an ivory tower. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Ivory is a very valuable commodity. Very valuable commodity. Now, obviously, it's an illegal commodity, but then very valuable. And you know what's interesting about ivory? In order for it to be harvested, something has to die. And in order for us to grow deeper in love and deeper in our need for each other, then I have to die. Not literally. Not my heart stops and I stop breathing, but I've got to die to self. I've got to die to self. And I think that so many marriages fall apart right here on this component because we stop looking to what's in it for you and start looking to what's in it for me. And Solomon is saying, hey, we've got to grow deeper in love and need and find out what it is that they need. What is it they need? that I die to myself. In fact, I think Paul, I'm not positive, one of the apostles, I am positive he was an apostle, but I'm not positive. I think he said that we should die to ourselves daily and take up our cross. No, your wife is not your cross. But in order to grow deeper in love, I got to wake up in the morning and say, babe, what do you need today? How can I help you? Hey, guys, look at me for a minute. That means when you clock out of work and you drive home and you're exhausted because you just left a conference call that was pointless and you're tired and you want to slap somebody and you walk in and you just want to take your shoes off and say, baby, bring me a drink. That's the time you clock in and say, baby, what do you need? But you don't understand what my week has been like. Well, you don't understand what her day was like. You don't know. Ladies, when he comes home, that's not the time you just go, okay, you're here, I'm out. No, you clock in and say, hey, babe, what do you need?
Well, I can't believe you just said that.
Well, yeah, it doesn't just go, this isn't just about your husbands, by the way. We don't just get to, you know, yell at men suck, blah, blah, blah. And ladies are like, woohoo, no. We don't believe that here. We believe this is a mutual relationship where we say, hey, what is it that you need? And listen, if you're here and you're dating and that schmo doesn't know how to find out, hey, what do you need today? Then drop that dude like a bad habit. Literally, drop him like a bad habit. Because it's not just going to be awesome in the next few weeks and months. Listen, guys, this is what we've got to explore. What is it that you need? What is it you need? You want to grow deeper in love. We've got to find out what is it that you need. He goes on. He says, your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bath-Rabim. What does that even mean? I don't know. I do know. I'm kidding. The pools of Heshbon and the gate by the gate of Bath-Rabim were two fish pools about 25 miles outside of the River Jordan. And they were deep into this hard rock that they had to work diligently as to carve out. Diligently at to carve out. A lot of hard work. A lot of repetition. Day in and day out. Just to create these beautiful fish pools. What's he saying? He's saying this doesn't end when you hit year two or three. But this has got to be the way that I live my life. To work diligently at it, to work hard at it, to make it valuable. He's also saying, hey, man, this relationship, even though I put work into it, it has become something that is soothing and safe and refreshing for me. It's interesting to think that in a marriage, you can work harder at it and it becomes more peaceful for you. The harder you work at your marriage, if both couples and both parties are working diligently as hard, then man, it can become something so soothing, so safe, and so refreshing. It's like what Solomon is saying here. It can begin to feel like a spa almost. Like this is refreshing. I've walked in and this is what I've been looking for. And this is the relationship I long for. Can I tell you that picture you saw before? I'm so grateful Megan did not become who I thought she would have. She's so much better. And I am so much better too. I keyed. Man, there's something that happens when you work diligently in a relationship. That man, God just comes in the middle of it. And he's like, man, this is going to be refreshing. That you want to be with each other and spend time with each other. And when I'm with you, man, I feel fulfilled. Why? Because you are mine and I am yours. They're growing deeper in need for each other. They've become exactly what each other needs. So here's the question to ask your spouse. Baby, what is it that you need? What is it that you need? And your response should be, I will get what you need and give it to you. And that begs the question, what about the things that I can't give my spouse? I didn't ask my wife if I could tell this story, so I'm probably going to get in trouble. So, congratulations. A few years back, we had just moved from Dallas to Arizona, and it was a crazy scenario because we sold our home and we resigned from our position of ministry without knowing if we were going to get paid at the new church. We just knew God said go, so we're being obedient to that. And can I tell you, that's the scariest thing you'll ever do, and it's also the most rewarding. So we left, we resigned our position, we flew out to Arizona to have a conversation about what was going to happen, and we found out I actually was going to get paid, woohoo! And I didn't have to work at Pizza Hut and Starbucks and four of the jobs to make it work, it's going to happen, but it wasn't going to be exactly what we thought, and it became obvious and evident in those moments that what we had thought was going to happen wasn't a reality, and both of us were going to have to put in a little extra work just to make ends meet so we could fulfill the call of God on our life. And I'll never forget The day that we found out all that information, we had gone to bed, and it was about an hour after we had kind of dozed off to sleep, and I began to hear my wife crying. And it wasn't the kind of cry that was like, she's a little upset. This was like the deep mourning and sobbing kind of cry. And she was really upset and kind of having a little bit of a panic attack as it was becoming obvious that we're moving from this place that we know to somewhere we didn't. Away from our family, 1,200 miles. Her father's got cancer, and he doesn't have much longer to live. And we're going to have to work multiple jobs just to eat. And this is beginning to change. And the dynamics are shifting. And all of that became a reality in a moment for my wife. She sat up in our bed, and she's crying and weeping. And I sat up, and I leaned over, and I put my hand on her. And she kind of pulled away and just kind of curled up and just cried. And I never forget thinking, I am so helpless right now. No amount of chocolate is going to fix this. I can't rub her shoulders because she's going to punch me and that'll hurt. This is not going to be good. So the question, what do you need? No matter what she says, I don't have it. And it became obvious in that moment for me that if I'm not connected to who Christ is, if I don't have him at the center of who I am, I'll never be able to provide for her what she needs. But if I just say, Jesus, you've got her. You know her. You love her more than anyone on this planet. Would you help me to be the best husband for her right now? Christ, would you bring peace to her heart? Would you help her to understand exactly what your purpose and your plan is? I found out that even though I didn't have what she needed, I'm connected to the one who does. Hey, look at me in the eyes for a moment. Some of you might be in a place today where your marriage is crumbling, or every relationship you've ever been in failed. Can I challenge you again to make sure Jesus is at the center? And as you grow deeper in your love for each other and you grow deeper in understanding the needs, would you remember that you are connected to the one who has everything, who is the solution before there's a problem? You want to grow deeper in love, then you make sure Christ is at the center and understand the needs of those that you're in relationship with. Deeper in appreciation, deeper in need. And number three, deeper in respect. Deeper in respect. Verse 5, Solomon goes on. He says, your head crowns you like caramel, and your flowing locks are like purple. A king is held captive in its tresses. He's referring to Mount Carmel, which is one of the most beautiful and lush and fulfilled places in all of Israel. He's saying that not only do I appreciate you, not only do I understand and want to help fulfill the needs, but I respect and value you as an individual. There's a fulfillment behind who you are. That even the littlest things, the things that begin to frustrate you, have become something that is pleasing to me. I'll tell you, I'll never forget, I have three girls in my family pray for me daily. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a space as a man in a home with three girls, they take over everything. Like, my sink has been annexed by them, right? And they have their own sink, but for whatever reason, the girls decide to all do their hair, which, and they molt like parrots. So I come in to brush my teeth, and there's a freaking cat the size of... Yeah, a hairball the size of a cat in my sink. And I'm like, can you guys not use a different sink? Is it impossible for you? They're like, oh, just get over it. I could just shave your head and that would be fine with me. I never forget the morning I was cleaning out the hair again. You think I'm kidding? I can't brush my teeth. I'm like, just looking down. I'll never forget the morning I was cleaning the hair out, and I was so ticked. And God was like, aren't you grateful for your girls? I was like, dang it, God. Why you got to Jesus juke me like that? My wife, man, she and I are so much alike in so many ways and so very different in many others. I say that she's a bundle of chaos wrapped up in a Louis Vuitton. That's my definition of my wife. And when she decides to clean, get out of the way. Because it's usually a stress clean. So she'll come in here and she'll start picking up the kitchen. Then she'll find this that goes in the bathroom. So she walks over here to the bathroom and she starts cleaning up the bathroom. And then, oh, this goes in my closet. So she goes into her closet, pulls out all of her clothes. We're going to rearrange everything. And then underneath she finds something that's in the kids' room. And the mattress is lifted up and stuffed animals. And then now what do we have? A mess in every freaking room of our house. I can't even function or breathe because I'm just slightly OCD, and I walk into chaos, and my wife's like, I'm just cleaning, it'll be okay, which means, no, I'm going to do everything now. That is my life after I clean a hairball out of the freaking sink. You laugh because some of you know it's true. I hear Victoria laughing really hard right now. Do you know what's so crazy? Do you know what I love about my wife now? That very chaos. It has become so adorable to me. I used to organize our cabinets. I kid you not, ladies, I would go into our kitchen, pull the pots out, organize them, and I'd try to get a label to put them back in there. After three times of doing that, 2 days later, they're all back to crap. I was like, I can't do it anymore. She doesn't know how to put the pots in the right place. She's like, I do it every time. It's so not true. It's not me. It's somebody else. Nope. It's not. It's chaos over here, wrapped up in a Louis Vuitton. She's beautiful, but you know what's so crazy? I kid you not. It has become one of the very things I love most about her. Because that very element of chaos is this very essence that she sees the big picture for our family. Like, she knows, hey, we need to go to DEFCON 4. Our kids, they're struggling. We got to do some family time. Before, they could be at school, but she just sees it. You walk into a room and my wife's there, I promise you, she'll come over and shake your hand and hug your neck and make you feel like the most important thing in the world. Why? Because she is so everywhere. And I love that about my wife. And that's what Solomon is saying here. That the idiosyncrasies, the things that should be frustrating, I've come to respect them so much. I've come to love them. There's a deeper respect. Guys, look at me for a moment. And you think this is crazy. That seems impossible because it's those very things, whether the toothpaste is squeezed from the middle or the end, which way the toilet paper flap should go, above or below. We all know it all should go to the above. But aren't those the little things that start the arguments that lead to fights, that leads to separation, that kind of wears on you like bones without a joint? And I think Solomon's saying, hey, when we grow deeper in our appreciation for each other and we have a deeper sense of need, it fosters this deeper respect. And it's possible. Look at me in the eyes. It's possible. In fact, I know some of you walked into this room today doubting. Maybe you're here and you're not in a marriage relationship. And you may have walked through your fair share of frustrations and disappointments. But I want to tell you, it's possible. We're finding this in the Word of God. And look at me in the eyes right now. This cannot return void. Not my iPad, the real Word. It cannot return void. And as we foster a deeper appreciation, understanding deeper need, it leads to a deeper respect. When I place his or her needs first, I naturally develop a deeper respect. And the question to ask is this. Write these things down. What is it that you value? What do you value? And my response should be, I will embrace your value as my own. I will embrace your value as my own. A deeper appreciation. A deeper need. A deeper respect. And finally, a deeper intimacy. A deeper intimacy. He goes on into verse 6. He says, how beautiful and pleasant you are, O loved one, with all your delights. Your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I say, I will climb the palm tree and lay hold of its fruit. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the scent of your breath be like apples, and your mouth like the best of wine. And that means exactly what you think it means. And I think it's interesting that he refers to being like a palm tree. And I did a little research on this. I don't know if you know this, but there's an actual law that is called palm tree abuse in Broward County, Florida. Palm tree abuse. There is actually an inappropriate and an appropriate way to climb a palm tree. Now, I'm not going to demonstrate because it'll look uncomfortable and just awkward. But the inappropriate way is to put shoes that have spikes on them or cleats, which like a pole climber would use in for San Diego Gas and Electric to climb a pole where they'd kick it in and then just shimmy up as fast as they can. And that's literally called palm tree abuse because it has no regard. The climber has no consideration or regard for the palm tree, but merely to get to the top. But there's another form of palm tree climbing that is legal in Broward County, Florida. Aren't you glad laws like this exist? Where they attach a platform to your feet, kind of like a deer stand. And you take that and you embrace the palm tree, you elevate the platform, and you go to another level. You embrace the palm tree, you elevate the platform, and you climb to another level. You embrace the palm tree, you elevate the platform, and you climb to another level. I love how later in their relationship, the intimacy is still there. The passion is still there. Because they're not trying to handle their own needs, but they're consumed and concerned with the needs of their spouse. To embrace the palm tree, elevate the platform, and climb to another level. A deeper level of intimacy. And listen, guys, intimacy is about so much more than sex. It's about a spiritual connection, and God designed it to be that way. A spiritual connection that literally is the essence and the quintessential component of every single marriage. And if we can grow in our authenticity, if we can grow in our appreciation for each other, our need and our respect, then we can grow in our intimacy. And that, my friends, is a relationship that come hell or high water will not give in. That even though they may feel down, they will never be out. There may be times when the towel is in hand, but I will not throw it in because I'm going to grow deeper in my love. And this is merely a speed bump in the relationship road of our life. Because I'm going to grow deeper in every level of my relationship. I want to tell you, husbands, wives, we've got to grow deeper in intimacy. And the question to ask is this: what brings you pleasure? And my response should be, I will make your satisfaction my highest priority. We've heard Solomon talk. He's been talking to his bride. And his last verse is, he says, in your mouth like the best of wine. And now she comes back and she responds. She says, may the wine go straight to my beloved. Wine is indicative of joy and celebration. Gliding over lips and teeth. In verse 10, which is kind of like the verse that sums up the relationship of this amazing man and woman. He says this, she says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Another translation says, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. That's the kind of love that everyone wants. That we're growing deep in our relationship with each other. I'm his, and she is mine. Vice versa. I think I said it wrong. It's understanding that no matter what, we are inseparable. Why? Because we're going deep in our love and our relationship is centered around Christ. So therefore, nothing can separate us. Guys, it's possible. It's probable. It just takes some work. It can be applied to every relationship. It just takes some work. And I'm telling you right now, unless you appreciate the deepening of a relationship, you'll never have a spouse that responds like this. Verse 11 says this. Come, my beloved, let us go out into the fields and lodge in the villages. Let us go out early to the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded, whether the grapes' blossoms have opened and the pomegranates are in bloom. And there I will give you my love. There I will give you my love. Hey, what if we could change statistics? What if we could be a part of a community, a church? We hold each other accountable to a higher standard. What if we could be in a relationship that is about so much more than the physical, but it fosters a deeper love centered around Christ? Look at me in the eyes. That's God's purpose and plan and design for you, which is why you're sitting in the seats today. I don't believe that anything happens by chance. So no matter where you're at, maybe you're in a great place in your relationship and your marriage. Let's take it a little deeper. Maybe you came in struggling. You wanted to hold hands, but he didn't or she didn't. You're remembering the argument you had last night or in the car on the way here today. Let's work fostering a deeper love and see what God wants to do. Amen? Hey, let me talk to those of you who are here today who may be challenged in your faith. Maybe you're not really sure where you stand and how this whole Jesus, church, Christianity thing feels or is for you. You know, some people came in today and you like the idea of Scripture or what God is doing, or even being in a room with people who seem to be heading in a good direction, but it feels like there's this gap between you and the God that we're talking about today. This space, this chasm that I can't seem to get past. And every time I try, it's like I hit up against it. And I want so desperately to, but I just can't get past this gap. Can I just tell you, the Bible talks about that gap. In fact, it calls it a sin gap. The Bible says that all of us have sin in our life. All of us. No one in this room is an exception to that. No one in this room. And the Bible says that sin is a separation between us and God, and that there's a consequence for sin, and the consequence is sobering. The Bible says it's death and an eternity in hell. But listen, don't turn me out on this thing. You understand consequences. You understand consequences. If you're speeding past a police officer, you're going to get a ticket. Why? That's a consequence for a poor action. But the Bible offers an amazingly radical solution. In fact, the Bible calls it a gift. God sent his son Jesus, who lived a sinless life. And he paid the ransom for your sin and mine. That's a radical gift. He died on the cross. He took my sin and my shame, my past, my sorry relationships, and he bridged the gap between me and God. And he did it for you too. And you can start a brand new life today. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to get all your stuff in order. You just got to say, Jesus, I want to be yours. And if you're here today and you've never made that decision, today is your day. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you get out of your seat. But in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And right where you're at in your own heart, just between you and God, you're just going to repeat that prayer after me. And today will be a brand new day for you. If you're here today and you've been running from God, today's the day to come back. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one looking around. Nobody moving. But if you're here and you've never prayed that prayer, then I want you just in your own heart to repeat this after me, to say, God, I know that you love me. I know you've given me purpose. That you've called me. And God, I've got sin in my life. I'm not perfect. There's been a void and a gap, and I'm ready to close that gap. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Would you forgive me? Now just say these words in your own heart, to say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.